I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time. It's time now for a look at what made news in Wisconsin this week.
We've got Noah Ovshinsky in the studio with us now. Noah's our assistant news director. Hey, Noah, thanks for coming by.
It is good to be here. Good afternoon.
Well, let's start out with Badger Care letters. Something's afoot with this starting Monday.
Right. So I know we're supposed to be looking back, but I want to look forward for a second because I think this is a big story. On Monday, roughly 90,000 Badger Care recipients, and Badger Care is the Medicaid program here in the state, 90,000 recipients are going to be getting a letter in the mail letting them know that they're going to be removed from the program because under new guidelines advanced by the Walker administration, their income is too high.
And any sense, you said 90,000?
Yeah, 90,000.
That's a lot of letters. So what's gonna happen when they get these letters? What information are people going to be given?
Well, they'll probably have a lot of questions. You know, what's next? When is my insurance going away? What is my insurance going to look like? And the Walker administration's goal is to get these 90,000 folks off of Medicaid and into the insurance marketplaces that were created by the Affordable Care Act. These online marketplaces where there'll be a variety of insurance companies here in the state offering their own plan, and the federal government will kick in some money, some subsidies to help people pay for that insurance.
Now, the obvious concern here is lapses in coverage. So what is the Walker administration said about trying to make that happen?
Right. That's one of the concerns that they have, is that continuity of coverage, because these marketplaces aren't going to really go into effect until early next year, I believe in January. And so I think the Walker administration wants to get out as much information as possible, reach these people as early as possible, and get them in these new exchanges if possible.
Any concerns about affordability? If people can't afford Badger Care, is there going to be a jump in price for something new?
Right. That is a huge concern for people who are advocates of those who need health insurance or who don't have health insurance, or those who rely on Badger Care right now. That's one of the big concerns, because these 90,000 folks, while they may not qualify for Badger Care because they make too much money, they also, the concern of critics, is that they don't make enough money to pay for this new insurance, and that they may get substandard insurance or may not get insurance at all because they can't afford it.
As you said, that's a big news story. So when these 90,000 letters go out, is that going to be big news for people who might not be expecting it?
I think it will be. Even for those who can afford the change, I think it's going to be, you know, there's a dramatic difference between dealing with, say, Medicaid and dealing with a private insurance company. There are different claims processes. There are different customer service experiences. There are different coverage levels, things like that. And so people are going to have to really give a lot of thought as to what their health insurance is going to look like. And for some of these folks, maybe they didn't have to think about that for a while because they've been on Badger Care. And so now all of a sudden they're going to be in the private marketplace, which is different than government-run healthcare.
Now, let's move on now. There have been a couple of polls making news in Wisconsin this week. One about the Solidarity Singers.
Right. So I'll admit, I'm not a huge fan of polls. And I wouldn't normally talk about polls in the Week in Review because it kind of lends itself to this horse race mentality when it comes to journalism.
But
here comes the, you know, it was coming. Here's the but. The but is, these are the first time that we've gotten polls that deal with these particular issues. The first one is a poll that asks people if the Solidarity Singers, the protesters at the Capitol, should get a permit in order to protest, which, of course, has been an issue we've covered at great length here on WPR. And this is the first time we've had a poll that really looks at, does the state of Wisconsin support it?
And what did it find?
Well, nothing too definitive. the poll did find that a plurality of people, so not a majority, but more people than not, support the Solidarity Singers' right to protest without a permit. 41% said they should get a permit. 45% said they should not. And it has to be said that 4% is within the poll's margin of error.
Right. And so, I don't know, I guess this is news happening at the state capitol, but it's large enough apparently that people have heard about it elsewhere,
right,
in Wisconsin.
So for me, in addition to this being the first poll, the surprising thing is, and this even surprised the pollsters, and this was a national polling company, by the way, that did this. They found that 86% of voters actually had an opinion about the Solidarity Singers, which means there are a lot of folks in Wisconsin who are actually following the issue and who care enough to have an opinion.
And, you know, you said within the poll's margin of error. So how influential is this poll going to be when people are considering this issue on both sides of the legislative fence there?
I think either side can spin the numbers in their own way. I mean, it's not definitive. But what it does say is that there are, you know, not equal, but roughly equal numbers of people, according to this poll, who support them or don't support them. And more importantly, as I noted, that a lot of people in this state actually care about the issue, 86%.
So since it's actually on people's radar, maybe that's enough to up the ante a little bit.
Right, exactly. And it also has to be noted, Public Policy Polling is a firm that did this, and they're often looked at as a Democratic or a left-leaning firm. Mm-hmm. They did note that in this poll, they did seek a mix of respondents. Interestingly enough, the same group of people that they polled for this favored Governor Scott Walker over four hypothetical Democratic opponents in a governor's race.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
So not just a partisan issue here.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It goes both ways.
All right. Well, let's move to another poll. This one is out of UW-Superior. Tell us about this one.
Right. So again, this is another first poll that we have. And this is University of Wisconsin-Superior researchers came out with the first public opinion poll that looks at what people think about the proposed open pit iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin, which is very controversial here in the state. And all of the respondents live in the two counties where the mine would be built.
And so just to get our terminology straight, so the open pit mine would mean basically, you know, they're taking off the top of the landscape.
Right. It's like I've heard the term like 4 miles wide, basically, or 4 miles long. And that's where they would extract the ore on the surface.
On the surface. Okay, well, what did this one show about how people feel about this open pit mine?
So this showed that the majority, more than a majority, really, of the people that live in those two counties oppose the mine in some way. For instance, 62% of respondents absolutely are opposed or are generally opposed to the mine. 44% of that were folks who just absolutely were opposed.
So that is a lot more clear than the Solidarity Singers poll.
Yeah, not a plurality. Like that's a majority.
Opposition going on right there. And how do you think this will, you know, play out, a poll like this? Will it be influential?
Well, you know, again, I think it probably depends on where you stand on the mine. If you're against the mine, you'll point to the poll as proof that this isn't popular. You can also, if you're for the mine, you may point to it and say, well, you know, there was only 102 answers, and there were only 102 answered the survey completely. So it is a relatively small subset of people. It also has to be said that of those people who support the mine, and in this poll, 11% fully support a mine, 14% generally support the mine. So something on the order of 25%, you know, they support the mine. And when asked why they support the mine, they largely pointed to the employment opportunities that it brings as a reason for supporting it.
And for folks who were in the opposed camp, what are their concerns?
Their main concerns had to do with the effect of transportation infrastructure, tourism, outdoor recreation, quality of air and soil, surface water, forestry, wetlands, fish and wildlife. So mainly issues having to do with the environment.
So it sounds like, you know, from what you're describing, a lot of people have a lot of mine literacy. They're following it.
Yeah, exactly. And just like the Solidarity Singers, a big part of those people actually had an opinion about it. So this poll found that a lot of people were well educated about the mine issue. 70% say they are following the controversy closely.
All right. So we'll be watching that one. That's obviously still in development on lots of fronts. And moving to education, you know, a different kind of report card came out, not just for kids. This time it was for schools themselves from the Department of Public Instruction. Tell us about that.
Right. So DPI released its annual report card of school districts and individual schools. And what the report card found was that a majority of Wisconsin schools met or exceeded the expectations set down by DPI.
So how does that compare to last year?
Ooh.
Do we know?
Good question.
Did I stump the assistant news director?
Oh, you stumped me. well, okay. Okay. Oh, no. I've got a partial answer. Let's see. So let's look at Milwaukee. Milwaukee is one of the districts that did not score well, compared to other districts in the state, did not score as well. And according to Milwaukee officials, the number of schools that are meeting expectations in Milwaukee went up from 29 schools to 34. So there is some improvement, at least in the Milwaukee Public School District.
And yet it sounds like Milwaukee suffered, you know, on another front, though.
Yeah. I mean, they still have, you know, a lot of really a lot of improvement that needs to be done. It has to be said also that this is the second year individual report cards have been released. And so we're just now getting a sense of what the data looks like. And you know, I think everybody, both parents, policymakers and others, will be looking at successive report cards and really thinking about, you know, where are we and where do we need to be in order for all of our districts to meet or, better yet, exceed expectations.
And how is this by and large being perceived? You said that the majority of Wisconsin schools met or exceeded expectations. So, you know, are we patting ourselves on the back?
Yeah, I think so. Governor Scott Walker released a statement saying the report card results were great news for parents and children. However, he did note that there still is room for improvement. And really the goal for him and the state government is to have no failing schools.
All right. Well, that's another one we'll be watching and we'll be tracking it again for next year. Noah, thank you so much for stopping by today.
It was great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Of course, that was Noah Ovshinsky, our assistant news director here at Wisconsin Public Radio.